This evening, I would like us to skip ahead a little bit. We're going to read the last verse of chapter 7 and then build into chapter 8. And later we'll pick up some of those other lessons in chapter 7. But I have a message prepared here for this evening, mostly out of Nehemiah 8. So we'll begin reading Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 73. So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims and all Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had built for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin, Akub, Shabithiah, Hadijah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Let's open with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a wonderful and gracious God, and we thank you for this passage which describes a desire of the people to come to know you better through your word. And Father, we ask that you would stir up our own hearts, that we would desire to meet with you, not just to attend, not just to arrive at a place, but rather that we would have our hearts knit together with you. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes during this time of study in your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we have here Nehemiah. Nehemiah has gone through the whole genealogy, and he's traced out all of the people, and it's probably been a couple of weeks doing all of that kind of thing, and all of the people had been sent back to their own cities. At the end of chapter 7, we have them all dwelling in their own cities, all of the people, including all of these ones who were involved in the temple worship. And all of them were there, and then the seventh month came. Now we read that, and we say, oh, okay, the seventh month, let's see. Oh, yeah, that's July. That's not that important. Why is this standing out to them? And here, the people, though, were getting ready for their first month. It is the seventh month of the calendar year, but it was the first month of the Jewish religious year. I guess that's the best way to put it. And this is not that difficult of a concept. We all understand that you have school years, and they don't begin on January 1st and go all the way through. They kind of begin a bit later and end a bit later. And then you have financial years. Those start in the middle of the year and go around. Here, the Jewish people, their religious year started on the first day of the seventh month. It was their new year. It was a time of dedication to God. The people of Israel had a pattern of coming together at this time. We could go back to Ezra and see that this is almost identical to the end of chapter 2 of Ezra and the beginning of chapter 3, where they all went back to their cities and then they gathered themselves on the first day of the seventh month. But I want us to read again what it says there in verse 73 here. It says, when the seventh month came, that is, on the last day of the sixth month, everyone was at home. And they were all in their own houses and they were all planning to go to town. Now, some of you might enjoy town a little bit more than others. Maybe it's an occasion that you like to go and maybe do your favorite things while there. And if you are planning to go on a holiday or something like that, maybe you've planned out every day, you know, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to see this, we're going to see that. Here the people have planned out what they're going to do to get there on the first day. But I want us to note that they did not go around telling each other, okay, it's announced, we're all going to meet up on the first day of the seventh month. No, instead it is as if each person has made this determination for themselves. I want to honor God this coming year, this new year that the walls have been built. I want to be there in Jerusalem on the very first day of the year. I want to be there. And so they all had made their own separate individual plans to be there. And as they're walking out of their house and going towards Jerusalem, you can almost see it. You know, they're trudging along. It's a bit cool out. Dawn's just coming up. And as they're walking along, one neighbor comes alongside. And the other neighbor comes alongside. And as they go, more and more, until the road is just packed with people headed to Jerusalem. And then they all line up. And if you remember, it's only been one chapter back, Nehemiah had set in order that they weren't to open the doors until the sun was fully up. Until the sun was fully hot. And that's when they were to open the doors. So all of these people are all lined up at the gates. They're all lined up waiting to come in. Everyone from all of these cities, and some of them lived a bit further away than others. They might have even had to have left, you know, the night before to get there. But they had made their plans, they had arrived. But I want us to see their heart. They gathered themselves together, but they didn't do it because they organized and they planned it out, saying to their neighbor, now you come and you come and you come and we'll all meet up there in Jerusalem. No, each one is deciding for themselves, we want to come. And in verse 8, it's described this way, all the people gathered themselves together as one man. They were unified, not just in the fact that they arrived, but in their intentions to be there. You know, you might come to church, and you might come here, and your intention is to meet with a certain person who's a friend. Or maybe you have a bit of news to pass on. Sometimes that's a hard thing to keep yourself, isn't it? When you have a little bit of news, you want to pass it on. Maybe you're coming because it's been a long time and you feel like you need to. You might have many different reasons for coming. And the same could have been true there, but it wasn't. They all came with the same heart. As one man there means that their motivation was identical. They were coming not so that they could be seen, not so they could show off what, who and what they were, but they were all coming for the same purpose. And this purpose was that Ezra would bring out the book of the law so they could hear from God's word on that first day of the new year. Again, this was not coordinated ahead of time. They did not send letters ahead. Oh, please prepare to be ready to do this. They just got up there and went and did this. It was in everybody's heart. You know what we want to do? We want to hear God's word this day. They called out to Ezra. the scribe, "Bring the book of the law of Moses." I almost picture, you know, camp or some other youth event where you have everyone trying to get one particular thing done, and maybe they're all chanting together, "Bring the book of the law of Moses. We want to hear the book of the law of Moses." And the cry is coming up from many different people all at once. They're all gathered together for that same purpose. We could stop right here and preach a whole month of messages on how is it that they were so unified. It's hard to be unified. It's hard to maintain the friendship and the unity. And here they not only are unified in that they're all together, but they're also unified in their purpose and in their desire. How does that happen? God must have been working in their hearts to do this. They all came together. They all were there on that first day of the seventh month. Well, Ezra the scribe, he was willing to bring out the law. And in verse 2 of Nehemiah 8, we have Ezra bringing the law out in front of or before the whole congregation. And we have listed here who the congregation included. There are some who claim that the Bible is sexist and that it excludes people of this group or that group, of this nation or that nation. But instead, we find here a very inclusive congregation. We have a congregation of both men and women, all that could hear with understanding. There was only one requirement. Are you coming to hear God's word? And can you understand it if we explain it to you? That was it. It's a very low bar. It's not a hard-to-reach standard. Everyone was invited to come. No one was excluded. This is also pointing out that it is important for each one of us to study God's Word ourselves. You cannot rely upon your spouse to be the spiritual person in the relationship and to keep you on track. Nor can you rely on the fact that the pastor is going to dig into the Word and feed you once a week. That's not enough. You must understand God's Word. It is incumbent upon you to understand. Sure, I'll be here to help as much as I can. If there's a passage we're going through, I'll try and make it as clear and as simple as I can. But it is up to you to make sure that you are understanding, to desire to understand God's Word. This law, the law that the Lord had commanded Israel, was of great importance to the people of Israel. In fact, it could be said that the nation of Israel was defined by the law. It was defined by their keeping of the law. Their desires and their actions as a nation were all held in check by the law. What they were supposed to do, when they were supposed to do it. And here they wanted to make sure they were beginning the year right. They wanted to begin it with the Lord's words, His commands. This is also important for us to know. God is not just giving us suggestions in His Word. We are not to take the Bible and say, okay, I found a few good stories and they were entertaining. Instead, we need to find in the Scripture what God has commanded for us to do. Israel is not here asking Ezra to explain what the prophets had commanded to the other nations. And there were commands given to other nations. Maybe you remember Jonah. He had gone off and he preached to Nineveh, that great and wicked city. And there's so many other of the prophets who preached to and gave the Lord's commandment to other nations around Israel. And yet here, the people of Israel were focused on what they needed to hear. I've sat in the pew before, just as you are now, and I can't tell you how many times I've thought, oh, my brother needs to hear that. Are you listening, brother? You know, nudge, nudge. That kind of thing. Because it's easy to think, oh, what do they need? What does that person need? What about those people out there? What do they need? instead of saying, "What is it, O Lord, that you have commanded me?" God's command to the people of Israel was for the whole congregation, all of them, men, women, children who could understand. They're all included in this instruction here. Ezra brought out the law before, in front of all of the congregation. And then we find what he did with that law. You know, he didn't just hold it up in front of everyone and say, "I've got it." We are often guilty of this. We say to someone, "Oh, here's a tract, because I've got the information, I'm holding it to myself." It's of no use to that other person unless we give it to them, unless we proclaim it or hand it to them so that they are able to receive it. They wouldn't have had enough copies of the law at that time, nor would there have been enough people who could have read the Hebrew language at that point. Because remember, most of these people in this congregation at that time had either come out of Babylon themselves or their parents had, and they had most likely lost some of their ability to understand and to read Hebrew. It is uncertain what languages were being spoken, but we see that they have translated to them as much as interpreted for them the understanding of these words that are going to be read to them. We need to make sure that when we give the gospel, it is clear to everyone what it is we are saying. And when we have seen something out of God's law, we should be excited about it and tell one another. This is a challenge for each one of us to go to one another. Sunday is a great day for it. Something that God showed you through the week, you can encourage one another with. We can explain to one another, and there can be this accumulative effect. If you're only waiting for me to preach something or for someone from the pulpit to preach something, then everyone will have one exact copy of a small part of the Bible and understanding of it. But if each one of us is bringing to the church and helping one another understand something that we were able to figure out during the week out of God's law, boy, oh boy, it'll be adding up and then multiplying our understanding of God's word and our love of God. We have here Ezra standing up. It is interesting that we don't have Nehemiah being described yet in this chapter. He is not the one who is setting this up. Nehemiah isn't the one organizing it or calling people to come. Nehemiah isn't the person beating them up to get them in line. He is relying upon God working on their own hearts through the people that God had put in place. God had given the scribes, the priests, the Levites, to explain the law of God, as well as to lead the services at the temple and the sacrifices. And so it was truly their role from God to accomplish. And we're going to see that they did a good job of it here. In verse 3, it says, "He read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday." Now that's a long time. But that's a long time, especially when you realize that all of the people in this congregation were standing. Now it's probably a good thing we don't do that. We'll probably have a few people fainting and falling over after a couple of hours of explanation and reading of God's word. But they were listening to God's word from morning until midday. And everyone who was listening, notice this in verse 3, at the end of the verse, it says, they were attentive unto the book of the law. They were attentive to God's word. When you love someone, when they speak to you, your ears perk up a little bit, or they should. I know husbands often get a bad rap for that, not listening to their wives, and is probably true too often. But when you love someone, when you hear their voice, you generally listen in. You're trying to catch every word. And here, when the people were hearing the book of the law, they were attentive. Their focus was intense. They wanted to know. They wanted to hear. It didn't matter if it was something that was pleasing or something that was going to be harsh. We'll find out later in this chapter that some of the things caused them to start to mourn, because they realized they had failed God so miserably. But whether it was something that was going to cause pain or something that was going to cause pleasure, they were interested to hear from God's word. We need to be attentive unto the book of the law. We need to be so focused that once we hear it starting to be quoted, we're like, oh, I'm listening. I want to hear. What is there in this for me? What is this? What is there in this that I can take a hold of? Again, this is not for applying to others. This is for applying to us. If each one of us focuses on our own understanding of the law, we will all draw closer to God. This is why we are here. This is why we gather together on Sunday night. Because we want to hear the law of God. In verse 4, we have a little description of what has occurred, some of the setting, I guess you would say, of this event. And Ezra was standing up on a pulpit of wood. Now, the word pulpit there, we think of a stand like this where the Bible could be placed or notes could be placed. But in the in this description, we actually have more of the fact that it was on a box so that he could stand up above the people and be heard out over all of them. In other words, this pulpit of wood was to make it easier for him to be heard. I don't know how much earlier Ezra had begun preparing, but he had been preparing for this day before it arrived in order to get this pulpit of wood made. They didn't make it on the day. They were prepared to teach. And not only was this pulpit made that was just big enough for him, but instead it's big enough for him and 11 other people to stand, if I've got my numbers right. There were 12 of them in total, standing there on this wooden box. And as Ezra would read the scroll, and as he would read the law of God, then this person might explain what was going on. And make it clear, maybe in another language, maybe they would explain some background of it as Ezra is reading through. A little bit of reading, a little bit of explanation, a little bit of reading of the Bible, a little bit more explanation. And there was all of these men so that they could share that load around and use the combined knowledge of all of these individuals. So here they were all standing in the sight of the people, and they were all explaining what was happening. There are a couple of reasons for these different groups to be involved in the explanation, not just Ezra. You can imagine if there has been a dearth of reading God's word. If no one had heard a sermon in several years, maybe even decades, how likely is it that everyone would be in tune with what God was saying? It'd be very unlikely that they would all be in tune. And so when they're hearing something, they'd be like, is that true? Is that real? Is that really what it says? And so having a few others who can confirm that, yes, this is what those words say, the person who's speaking is not making it up. They're not twisting the text. They're not applying it in a way that benefits them instead of is beneficial to all, they can say, they verify that this is true. This is what God has said. In verse 6, we have Ezra blessed the Lord. That is, he prayed to God, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. That is, they prayed in this time while they were looking at the word of God. If you can go several hours reading in God's word without needing to pray, then there must be something wrong with your heart. Here they heard God's word for several hours, not only being read, but also explained to them, and their hearts were moved towards God. They saw God as he was, and they praised him. At the end of verse 6, it says, they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They recognized that they were not worthy to stand face to face with God, and so they hung their head in shame. They prayed to God who was above, and they bowed their head, knowing they weren't worthy. There's so much we could learn about how to pray from this verse, but we'll leave that for another day. There's also so much here about the attitude we should have when in the presence of God, when reading his word. We should be very humble in our attitude toward God. In verse 8, and we'll finish up here very shortly, it says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. This is actually a bit of a challenge for those who are explaining God's word. The responsibility goes both ways. And this is true for Sunday school teachers or parents or people who are preaching, any and all of these, the responsibility goes both ways. Not only must the people be attentive and be eager to hear and understand God's word, but we also must be very intense in our desire to cause them to understand. Sometimes that means you have to explain something more than one way. Sometimes that means you need to explain something with simpler words so that the ones at the bottom are able to get things off the bottom shelf. Sometimes we put things up so that Thomas won't get to them. And then Sophia and Susie, being helpful, bring it down to where he can reach it. And then he takes whatever it is we didn't want him to be touching and carries it wherever he will take it. But this is how we need to approach explaining God's word. We need to take it from, oh, it's a hard concept, it's a high concept, and bring it down and make it accessible to the lowliest, to the smallest. This is the directive to those who are bringing God's word to others. We also need to make sure that we read God's word distinctly. It says, they read in the book the law of God distinctly. Distinctly has the meaning of being clear and precise. I have to admit, this is a hard one when you're reading, especially a lot of these names that are unfamiliar and that have little connection with our current lives, and where it's easy to stumble over them or to skip over them. But here we are told to read the law of God distinctly, to make it stand out. It is to put something in stark relief. Just like these words, they stand out because they are black on white and because they are clearly cut. They are not wobbly lines. It's not a kindergartner's writing of those letters. It is a professional writing of those letters, and therefore it's distinct. It stands out to our eyes. And this is the kind of reading that was being done at that time. It gave the sense and cause to bring understanding. Each one of us should be desiring not just to tick our box every day or every week. Hopefully you read your Bible more than once a week. But tick the box and say, I read X chapter. No, we want to understand, to have a sense of what's going on. That should be our desire. And if we can't figure it out, we need to find someone who can distinctly, clearly explain it to us. This should be our burning desire. This should cause us to get up before day and walk all the way to Jerusalem so that we can be there when the gates are opened and we can cry out, "Bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded Israel." I'll finish with one last thought here. Not only were they crying out for the law of Moses to be read to them, but they were implicitly declaring their intention to obey it. If we read that again in verse 1, it says, they wanted the book of the law which the Lord had commanded to Israel. These were all of the individuals that in chapter 7 had been identified as the children of Israel. They were all able to say, here's my genealogy. I definitely belong. I belong here as one of the people of God. They said, I belong to the covenant of God. I belong to his promises, and I belong in this place. And now they are basically saying, we are going to listen to what God has commanded to us. And they were willing to obey it. We'll find later that they do cry this out, that they are willing to obey. But here it's actually implied, even before they've heard what God's word is. When we approach God's word, we need to be not only looking for what God wants to tell us out of the word, but we need to be ready to obey it. If we're not ready to obey it, before we've even read what it is God has for us, then we are going to float through. And then we're going to come to the end of the passage and be like, I don't remember what was there. It hasn't made an impact. Or, oh, I think God was telling me this, but I'm not sure. I need to throw out a fleece and get a little bit more confirmation. But if instead we are intending to obey whatever it is that God has commanded, then when we read it, it will be in our hearts just to do it. So I hope tonight we have been encouraged. Be at church. But don't just be here present. Be here with the intent to love God. Be here with the intent to share with one another. And if you have the opportunity, cause to be understood God's law to those who are less understanding than you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you not only for the fact that you have kept your promises, not only for the fact that your word is true and can be relied upon, but Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful in our own lives. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see distinctly out of your word, not just tonight, but every day this week. And Father, give us hearts like the people of Israel on that day who were willing to stand for several hours listening as the sun beat down upon them, listening and listening to hear what it is that you had commanded them. And Father, we ask that you would bless us throughout this week. Amen.